All right. Welcome to Investment Banking Insights. This is the only show dedicated to helping you learn both the technicals and the non-technical aspects of the investment banking process. My name is Alex Mason and I am your host. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, last week we talked about comparable companies analysis, just breaking down the major steps. Remember, number one, identify your universe of comparable companies. Number two, find the financial information for those companies. Number three, spread the comparables. Number four, benchmark the information. And then number five, determine the valuation of the target. So that was what we did last week. And now I just want to get back in touch with the big picture. Zoom out a little bit. Why are we doing this? Well, we want to understand, of course, what our target company is worth. That's the whole purpose of this exercise. And how are we doing it? Essentially, what we're doing, if you were to condense those five steps that I just mentioned into a single sentence, I would say we're comparing the target company to other similar companies and analyzing the similarities and differences between them. That's what we're doing and how we're doing it. But what are the pros and the cons of this process? Now, if you recall many episodes ago, way back in season one, we discussed the three primary ways of valuing a business. Remember, there's comparable companies, what we've been talking about, precedent transactions, and discounted cash flow analysis. Now, we'll talk more about those last two in depth in later episodes, but for now, let's talk about what the pros and cons are of doing a comparable companies analysis. Pro number one, and I think this is the biggest one, you get a pulse on live current market data. You really understand what's actually happening out there in the market. And I think this is super important because you can look at publicly traded comparables, look at their numbers. That gives you something to work with, and it gives you something recent, and it gives you something real. You're not just guessing here. You can actually look at a target company, say to yourself, what's a similar company that's like this company? Get the financials, get the most recent 10K or 10Q, go through it and have actual numbers to work with in your analysis. So I think that's a big pro. Number two is it's easy to compare firms. It's easy to make comparisons because when we spread the comps and we benchmark, we're standardizing the way that we're looking at things. So we have an apples to apples comparison. We can look at those ratios like your EV to sales, your EV to EBITDA, your debt to EBITDA. Those are things that you can look at across the board for any company. And based on the ratio that you use, you're learning something unique about that firm and its position within the marketplace. So comparable companies analysis gives you an easy enough platform to compare different companies. And then number three, the third pro that's really good here, is it's relatively fast to do. It doesn't take a huge amount of time. Once you've decided on your comparable set of companies, you can pull the information, you can aggregate them, you can do the spread. Of course, if you do this in an automated fashion, it's even faster. But even from a manual perspective, if you don't have that many companies to compare, it doesn't take too long to just look up the numbers and throw them in a spreadsheet and then run some calculations on them really quickly. So that's another pro of this approach. Okay, now let's talk about the cons. There are two major big cons that I see with this approach. Number one is, I think the biggest one, there might not be great comparables. It just might be really hard to find companies that are similar enough to your target company in order to make a good case for a comparable analysis. And even if they are good comparables to you, someone else may think differently. And we talked about this a little bit in the episode a while ago where we talked about what a good comparable is. Well, there are some things you can look at like business model, size, industry, all those things, of course, you want to look at, but it's still subjective at the end of the day. So the person on the other side of the table may or may not agree with you when you're coming up with your universe of comparable companies. So that is kind of a negative because every company is unique. And another thing, this is kind of like a sub point to this, you might miss specific competitive advantages or risks that are specific to this company. And that could skew the way that you view it, whether or not to include it within your set. Another con with this approach is you're relying on the market sentiment to guide your valuation, which is kind of like the other side of the coin to the pro that I just mentioned in the sense of getting a pulse on live current market data. That's great, but this may not be great from the perspective of, say, a long-term investor. Let's say your client is a long-term investor, maybe a strategic company that's looking to make an acquisition. Well, that could be not such a great thing to look at the market sentiment, because if the market is flying really high, or say this particular industry is flying really high and valuations are inflated, it might not be a good gauge of true long-term value, and the client could potentially overpay in that kind of situation just because they're looking at the comparables and saying, oh, look, you know, these comparables show that this company is worth X. Okay, we're willing to pay X, even though using other methods of valuation, the company might not be worth quite that much, but it just all depends. Now, from the perspective of a short-term investor, market sentiment may be exactly what you need, because sentiment and timing have a huge impact on the returns that the client can get, which is in contrast with, say, a long-term investor, where the earnings and the cash flows have a stronger overall effect in the long term in terms of the value of a business, enterprise value, equity value, all of that. Some people use the phrase intrinsic value, especially in the asset management world. So that's kind of a good thing, actually, market sentiment for kind of a short-term client, but maybe not so much for a strategic long-term client, just based on the way that I see things. So those are your major pros and cons. Pros, you can get a good pulse on live information. It's easy enough to compare companies using this method, and it's relatively quick. On the con side, there might not be great comparables that you have to work with, and every company is unique. And then also, you're relying on market sentiment to guide the valuation, which I guess could be a pro or a con, depending on how you look at it, depending on the perspective of the investor or of the client. All right, that's what I got for you today here on Investment Banking Insights. And you know what we're all about here, just living life to the fullest. And I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, for rating the show. Thank you for your messages. I appreciate each and every one of them. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. Take care.